Well, first of all, there isn't much to say about the revitalization process because it's still a pre-revitalization consultation process. So they're still talking to different stakeholders that they've mapped out, and there isn't so much information in regards to that. So I don't think there's much to say until a few meetings have been done here and there. In regards to the victims you're alluding to, first of all, they still even have to establish who the victims are, because as far as at this point, they still don't even know who the victims are. So that's one thing to do which has to be done. Now, what people need to understand is the reparations body can only work after the Truth and Reconciliation has concluded its work, because that then establishes who then is to be compensated. And so they cannot go hand in hand. I know the Chapter 5 doesn't explicitly put this in a hierarchical way, but there's a hierarchy to this, in the sense that the Truth Reconciliation has to conclude before, and that will then determine who is it that gets compensated and who the victims really are. So I don't think it will affect it in that sense. The revitalization process, we don't know what it's about and how it will conclude, but I think this should be viewed as a separate mechanism. Even within the peace agreement, the stated exclusively when they were supposed to start, but they didn't say when it was supposed to finish. So those two processes, all the processes under Chapter 5 are not time bound by 3 years. They could go well beyond that. And so I think that's why we don't think it should affect any process in between. It will affect that as much.
You have outlined that within 2 weeks in time, you will unveil the report of your commission. Could you tell us exactly what are some of those cases, what are those standing cases that you...
Well, what has happened, this year's report will be in two parts. The first part is the financial aspect, because we are an external oversight body and we go to the assembly and check if even if the assembly is functioning. And I think we ought to hold the same regard for ourselves. And so the first part talks about the money we receive as a commission, how it's spent. And I think it's the right of the public to know how we spend that money. And so the first aspect of that is a financial aspect of the commission. And I think it's important for us to unveil that, because then it helps us to solicit for much more funding and why we need that much funding. The second part is what we call the state of human rights of South Sudan. Now, that part is broken down into four parts. So the first issues are violations in regard to civil and political rights, which we call first generation human rights. The second aspect is social, economic and cultural rights. So we have a detail of the violations that happen into that, including how the budget has been allocated. Then we look at intercommunal violence as the third part of that. And then we have a fourth part, which is the accountability measures that have been taken by the government. And those have to do with the statute that is out of the hybrid court, the two processes that have been launched already, CTRH and the hybrid court, which they will be launching once it's agreed to. We also look at things to do with the national dialogue. We look at things to do with the terrain case. Those are accountability measures that have been taken. And so the fourth part lightly addresses accountability in context to how they account for human rights violations. And then the fifth part is the recommendations. So that is most likely the structure of the report, and we'll detail all the reports, the violations that have happened in regards to each aspect that I just mentioned about.
As a citizen, do you think that it is easy to implement the reparation and the compensation process in South Sudan, given the nature and the situation we have now?
Well, I think, first of all, you have to demystify what compensation means. I think a lot of us, when we talk of compensation, we think of it in monetary value, how much you'll get back. But reparations has more to that. It can just be even forgiveness or an act of saying, I'm sorry. Those, all of those are components of reparation. And part of that could be that. Now, in regards to the process under Chapter 5, I think that's the easiest component to address. And so I think there shouldn't be a problem. If they can get past the first two, then that should be an easy one to deal with, except when it comes to compensation of money and returning valuables. That might be a little bit much more difficult given the economic situation we have and how to get that money into those people. But in regards to other aspects to do with the reparation, those should be pretty much easy.